Purple Lights, your podcast home for SFA sports talk. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SFA Sawmill or check us out at www.sfasawmill.com. Be sure to subscribe here so you don't miss an episode of Purple Lights. And now for the latest happenings on Lumberjacks and Lady Jacks, here's Isaac and Richard. Axum Jacks.
It's that time again, Lumberjack fans. It is time for Purple Lights, your online home for all things SFA sports. And it is a victory episode today. As always, this is Richard Boyer, and with me is
Isaac Niedrauer. And it's good to talk to you under these circumstances, considering what we had to deal with a week ago after that dismal showing in San Antonio. Obviously, a much, much better look in front of the home crowd, even though it maybe wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. The win, ultimately, especially after what we saw a week ago, is the only thing that really matters now.
There was some, you know, some weather involved, but it turned out being kind of a humid but not too unpleasant night out there.
Yeah, really after the first, you know, probably 5 to 10 minutes of the game, I would say the weather wasn't a factor at all. I know, right. You know, the Abilene people keep making comments about, well, of course it was sloppy, the conditions were fine. This wasn't about conditions. The rain was not a factor. The field was not even really wet by the time the game kicked off. I'll tell you, from the press box, the windows were so fogged up, you know, at kickoff, you could barely see, right. You know, the field at all. 5 minutes in, it wasn't even a factor.
So 24-21 Lumberjack victory over the Wildcats of Abilene Christian in front of the, a little over 6,000 fans at Homer Bryce Stadium.
Not a big crowd, but no, you don't blame them considering the conditions.
Well, and what they saw last week, too. So that may have kept some folks home as well. It was Parents Weekend, so, you know, hopefully there was some folks out for that. But let's talk a little bit about the game. You know, obviously, happy that the towers got lit and the Lumberjacks are now 1-2 and 1-1 in Southland Conference play. We did have Jake Blumrick starting the game because of an injured Foster Sawyer, and then we also saw a little bit of Josh Covey as well. But I think one of the things that really stood out, especially through the first three quarters of the game, was a much improved Lumberjack defense.
Well, so here's the thing, and we talked about this last week. They weren't terrible last week, other than there was about a 5 minute period there, right, leading into the second half or into halftime, where they just kind of fell apart. And
well, they pitched a shutout in the second half.
Right, you take that away, and they really weren't that bad last week. But what I loved about the defense last night, because let's be honest, Abilene Christian is a far better offensive team, unless proven otherwise, than Incarnate Word. What they did was they really got back to what made them good last year. Abilene Christian is a good running team. They've been fantastic running the ball through the first month of the season, and their quarterback is a really good passer. But what they did was they run blitz them on first and second down, and then in the clear passing situations, they did exactly what they did last year to Jeremiah Briscoe and to, during the Sam game and Central Arkansas, where they were played well against good quarterbacks. They did the opposite of what you would think, and they backed off and they played coverage. And I thought they did a great job managing to get into the head of Luke Anthony. And by the end of the game, he was just rattled.
They stuffed the run, and there was plenty of pressure on Luke Anthony. And that's something that was a welcome sight from the Lions. And we've been saying it all year. You know, this team is going to live and die by the two lines. We've you know, skill positions, and I think the secondary was better, but there's still some room to be improved. But I think the defensive line really, really kept the Jacks in the game. And one of the things that you know, they even got a score out of it.
Yeah. Anthony kind of gifted them a score.
It's one of those situations where at the end of the game, both teams are sitting there going, "We deserve to win." And I think you can make arguments that both teams probably deserve to win, and but we'll talk about some of that in a little bit. On the offensive side, Jake Blumwick put up some pretty nice numbers.
He did, and they made it really simple for him. So that was part of it. I think they, when Jake Blumwick's in the game and you can find a way to make it a two-read play, you've got a chance if you give him some time. And they did give him some time. In fact, if we're going to talk about the one position group that played the best last night compared to what they did a week ago, not even close, far and away, the best improvement was the offensive line. And I don't know where that came from, because we haven't seen offensive line play like that in a while.
Well, we have not seen a lumberjack quarterback with 3 or 4 seconds to go through the read process and pick out a receiver in quite a while. And there was plenty of times last night where Blumrick had time. Mm-hmm. And given that time, he was able to execute. They weren't blasting huge holes for the running game. The running game was okay. It's kind of a running back by committee, and that's kind of what they've been doing. But there was a fairly decent mix, and I agree with you. The offensive line really got it into gear and had a pretty good game.
And look, Blumrick did a really nice job managing the game and moving the ball down the field. Let's not act like Jake Blumrick came in and just took this game over. They scored one offensive touchdown with him on the field. And of course, Josh Covey finished a drive the last two plays that Blumrick led. So this wasn't like Jake Blumrick came in here as just this offensive mastermind and turned things around. But what he didn't do was he didn't lose them the game, and he managed to put together competent drives that gave them a chance to score points.
That's one of the things that was frustrating as the game went on, is the Jacks would be able to move the ball, and then they would get into Wildcat territory and everything would kind of break down. And they weren't able to close it out and get the points. And that was that was shown. And hats off to the coaching staff to go ahead and try something different. Blumrick had moved him down the field, and then they get down into the red zone and they put Josh Covey in and start doing some pistol and some quarterback draws and using his talents, and it got him in the end zone.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Now, they've tried that with Covey before, to be fair, and it hasn't really worked. That's the first time we've really seen him come in a clear running situation like that, and it's almost gotten to the point where we're just expecting that he's not passing right now.
They're going to have to work that in. They definitely are.
I would think
are.
So, but right now, you bring him in almost in a wildcat type situation where you get an extra blocker in return. So maybe it's more effective than a straight up run play, but you're also taking away the element of what's coming. You know what's coming. It's Josh Covey, and he's probably running right up the gut.
And maybe we'll see in the future that they'll use that. Everyone will play the run, and he'll be able to throw it. That would be a nice wrinkle to see as this season goes on. As I mentioned earlier, Abilene Christian is walking away going, boy, we gave one away.
No question.
And the way they gave it away, 3 missed field goals.
Yep.
2 of them were long, a 49 and a 46.
Long, but not out of this guy's range. And in every case, they were wide. It's not like he didn't have the leg to get it.
Yeah, they weren't short. And they missed a very makeable, the third one we're talking about. And as we mentioned earlier, a Luke Anthony fumble that turned into a SFA touchdown.
It was a here, take the ball. Why don't you score this?
Yeah. Play. It was a strange play.
But at that point, that's when we were talking, and I was like, they're just in his head at this point. What I think it was, I went back and watched it. Nobody can really tell this other than Anthony. What it looked to me like, he was throwing the ball and he second-guessed his read and tried to pull it back,
and
I think that's where he lost the ball. I mean, it otherwise, it just looks like, no, he's just running around and just drops the football.
I'm just really happy because about 15 minutes before that, I was getting frustrated with the Lumberjacks drive stalling once we got into their territory, and I sent you a message saying the Jacks are going to have to score a defensive touchdown to win this thing, and then sure enough, there it was.
Like 2 plays later.
Yeah, it was great. So I think... it got close towards the end. I think for the first 3 quarters, I think SFA was pretty much in control, even though it felt like the score wasn't there. That's exactly right. The score did not match the play that was going on out on the field. And as often will happen, that can come back and bite you. And Abilene Christian put together a nice drive in the fourth quarter and really made it a game. I was a little surprised since they didn't, try to go and kick the field goal. They needed to go first and then go back and try to get the touchdown, because they were down by 10. Mm-hmm. But it, ended up working out. And one of the things that SFA is still having a huge problem with is penalties.
Yes.
And at one point, three straight plays were defensive penalties, and they've got to clean that up, or they are not going to be able to, luck out and get victories with the schedule they have coming up.
Right. If Anthony handing the ball off and saying, here, defense, yeah, score a touchdown, was Abilene giving a score away, that the defensive backs for SFA on the ensuing drive where they gave up the two pass interference. I believe there was a roughing the passer in there. And needless to say, it was a lot of penalty yards on one drive, and that ultimately led to a touchdown there. It was ridiculous. But you brought up the last sequence where ACU goes for it on fourth down inside the goal line and scores. I'm sitting next to Kevin Gore, who was the longtime sports editor of the Daily Sentinel. He now freelances for the Tyler Morning Telegraph. He was out there at this game, and I turned to Kevin and I was like, Kevin, what am I missing here? Why do you not kick the field goal and make this a one possession game? And Kevin looked at me and was like, this is why they're about to lose this game. And then they scored anyway, so you never know. But he was like, yeah.
Well,
it's called being stupid. That's what he told me.
And let's, that touchdown wasn't the end of the game. That was a pretty scary onside kick.
That was shades of Sunday Night Football last week in Dallas, where the bounces right out of a person's hand.
Yeah. And we had the tight end hit him right in the hand, pops up in the air, and there was a Frank Iheanacho sighting as he really saved it for the Lumberjacks by falling on that ball. And, if they come up with that, man, who knows what we're talking about today?
You're looking at basically, if you're ACU, you're sitting there thinking, we lose by 3 points. We give away a touchdown inside our goal line on a fluky fumble, and we miss three field goals.
Yep.
That's a game that we should win by three possessions. And yet we sit here and say, you know what? SFA was pretty much in control of this game for the most part the entire way through.
Yep. And that's what
somehow
it felt like. That's what it felt like. And I think it was because, you look at the final numbers and the passing numbers that Anthony put up, and they're not bad.
Right.
But it really
They were late. Most of his numbers were late.
It really felt like they couldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
And because they weren't really moving the ball against the Jacks, it felt like the Jacks were in control. There was one of the things that you see a lot of times, and we talked about it, it's the Jeff Bird defense. You're probably going to be able to get a 5 to 7 yard pass. Mm-hmm. That's the way that defense is built. But they weren't getting that for whatever reason, because there was pressure, because people were playing well. There was a couple of turnovers.
Hey, on that note, we have to say, we talked at length about how bad this defensive backs group was 2 years ago, and they were better last year. But, man, I will say that I have not – so the interception, let's go to the interception.
Yep.
If you're throwing a fly route like that and you're a quarterback, in Anthony's case, you maybe could put it a little more on the outside to protect it, but it was a great throw.
Yep.
And he hit the guy right in stride. That was the best one-on-one man coverage look I have maybe ever seen on a deep route like that by Lawrence Gonza, who picked it off stride for stride. And he just reached out and just caught it, just
it was
like
beautiful.
A receiver would.
Yep.
Had a little bit of inside leverage, but that's not even on the quarterback. That's just a DB being really good DB.
And I tell you, there was a very nice play that was a good performance by that defense overall. And one of the things we talked about, them missing a three field goals. I think one of the possible unsung heroes for the Lumberjacks was Caleb Llewellyn, who had a great day punting some monster kicks when they really needed to change, to turn
53 yarder in there with some roll.
Yep, trying to when they really needed to push Abilene Christian back, or when the offense got stalled or stuffed or something like that. I thought he had a really good game.
And then the other big story, of course, obviously, is the return of Alize Ward, who they missed a week ago, and they missed him a week ago. He comes in and it leads the team in tackles his first game back, and
had a nice kickoff return as well, more so than any of the other. And that was the other thing. He had a kickoff return. That's something that's becoming rarer and rarer in college and pro balls, is because of the new rules on the fair catch and things like that. Had a nice return, gave the Jacks some decent field position. And all in all, I mean, it's good to get a W. It's good that we are, not sitting there, scratching our heads, wondering is this team going to win a game and things like that. They were able to, and it's not altogether that unlike the Abilene Christian game last year, where we thought that we were up against a pretty good team, and the Lumberjacks found a way to win.
I will say the biggest difference is the quarterback play. We knew what Dallas Seely was. He was a known commodity in the Southland Conference, and I think we know what Luke Anthony is. And if we do, I said this a week ago, I say this again, he's the best quarterback in the Southland Conference. And if he's not done that right now from a track record, I know there's James Tabery and name escaping Nichols, me, but Nichols quarterback. There's good quarterbacks out there. So Luke Anthony may not have proven he's the best yet, but it's just a matter of time.
But I'll tell you what, if we're sitting here three games in, and I tell you, hey, SFA is going to have the same record as Sam Houston, you'd take that.
Hey, I'd take it.
And that's where we're at.
But
right
if
now.
You're sitting there preseason and you say you're going to lose one of your games to either Incarnate Word or Abilene Christian, which one do you think you're going to lose to?
Yeah, that's right. You definitely don't think you're going to lose one to the Word. That's for sure. And as we mentioned, Nichols did beat Sam Houston this weekend, and fairly close game, but
fairly close until then. Until the very end. Score.
No,
it was
closer than
seven, I think. But,
right,
yeah.
It was closer. It was close until into the fourth quarter, and then Nichols busted it open. We're talking about a 1-2 Sam Houston and a 1-2 Stephen F. Austin 2 weeks away from the battle for the Pining Woods,
and a week before you now have to play 3-0, but really 3-1 after the BYU fiasco this weekend. McNeese State, who suddenly maybe looks like the best team in the conference. Who saw that coming?
No, well, I mean, Central hasn't separated themselves from the pack at all, and I think you're right. Nichols, beat Sam, but what is Sam this year?
Well, Nichols beat Sam, but who beat Nichols?
Right, McNeese.
So I don't know. You may be looking suddenly at McNeese is never far away, but they may be the favorites right now. If you were betting odds on the Southland Conference, you're probably looking at Central or McNeese right now. And shoot,
and certainly
they got a good chance.
This Saturday, the Lumberjacks head to Lake Charles to play the Cowboys, who did go and lose a game out in Utah to BYU. Of course, BYU had beaten Wisconsin the week before, so there's no shame in I think that game was 30-3.
Yeah,
a final there. But the Lumberjacks are definitely going to have their hands full going to Lake Charles. But at least they're going in with maybe with some confidence and having a W.
And Tabery really hurt him a year ago, if you remember the game where he came in and everyone wondered what he was going to be like with his hurt hand, and then he tore him up. And the now, of course, you're going to Lake Charles. The weird thing about this series, we've talked about this before, the road team always wins. This may be the exception to that rule, and that may finally end the streak. But, he's not a guy who puts it in the air a lot. McNeese loves running on the ground. I mean, they'll have probably, six or seven different players with a rushing attempt, this coming week.
And that's what they did to him
last
year.
Maybe less than 20 passing attempts, but the efficiency in their passing game, that's what makes it dangerous.
And that's what it was. The Lumberjacks were so geared up to stop the run on that every time they ran play action, it was a surprise and there was a wide open receiver going down. That was an ugly game last year in Nacogdoches against McNeese, and here we are again trying to go down there and yeah, who knows? I think this is one that we both predicted was going to be a loss.
Yeah.
Although I think I did predict that we would beat Abilene Christian last week. So,
yeah,
but I tell you what, I really think, and you don't want to look too far into the future, but if you are not planning on being in Houston, you might want to think about it, because if there's going to be a time where we can definitely think the Jacks have a chance against Sam Houston, it's this year.
Well, I had a person I know message me a few minutes ago, actually, while we're sitting here talking, and said, what are the chances we win Piney Woods? Because if I'll go, but I need to know that we have a chance. And my response was, we have a chance, and I don't think it's because we're good, but because Sam is finally bad.
I think we are. Now, I was looking at the history of this game, and this is the longest winning streak for either team in the history of the series. This is the last time this is a 7-game losing streak that the Jacks have. The last time SFA won was 2010, and that was the very first year of it being then it was Reliance Stadium.
Yeah.
But it was the first year for the Battle of the Piney Woods to be held in Houston like it is, and the Lumberjacks won that one, and they've lost every one since then.
By the way, I'm oversimplifying if I say Sam is bad. Sam is not bad. They have a lot of really good players over there. What they're missing right now is an identity in the passing game, and they've got a couple quarterbacks that are good but not really finding it this year. Talented players that I would take over probably. I'm not going to take them over Foster Sawyer, but other than that, they'd be competing for a starting job. It's not like there's a big talent gap or anything.
So
Sam
is
always going to be.
So after the game last, did we get any word on Sawyer's condition for next week?
In the air. Not going to comment on whether or not. He said he has a chance to play, and that's where they would leave it. I think that they knew immediately after the Incarnate Word game that this was going to be a game for Jake Blumreich to start. Of course, they weren't going to be public with that.
Right.
But Foster never practiced this week. Foster had no chance to play. He's in concussion protocol, and as it is with all players in concussion protocol, it's just unpredictable.
Right. So we did have a Josh Covey, couple of nice runs, one of the longer runs that the Jacks had, and then he scored the touchdown a couple plays later.
I'll tell you this, a certain former coach who, let's say this coach was still around in, say, June era, told me that Josh Covey had the best arm on the team.
Really?
And could throw
let him
that
use
thing
it.
Like, now I don't know, there's a lot more than physical ability when it comes to quarterbacking.
Right.
Your wide receiver may have the strongest arm on the team, but I want to see them give him a shot, even if it's setting up a long pass. I mean, I want to see them use it. We saw it a little bit against Mississippi State, and he actually looked all right. I know it was all checkdowns and, at that point in the game, but man, I want to see him play.
Yeah. I think, he had the bonehead play of the game, that's for sure.
He did.
A scramble. I guess it ended up being a sack for minus 25 yards or something like that. It was unreal. And
really gave them a chance to come back. I mean, that was they needed a moment, just a glimmer of hope in that point, up down two scores, and that was it. That gave them the hope.
Well, yeah, because it pinned the Jacks back where they had to punt from their own end zone really gave ACU a chance. But anyway, we're looking at the Cowboys, McNeese State. Are you still you got a score prediction for that one?
Oh boy, I'm gonna go with my head and not my heart on this one. I'm gonna say McNeese 24, SFA 16.
Wow. I'm usually pretty optimistic. SFA, I think this is going to be a 35-14.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I don't see McNeese scoring that many points.
I worry about these games in Lake Charles, and boy, I hope I'm wrong.
I don't know that McNeese has an offense built for that, but I don't know. I mean, they scored 51 on Houston Baptist. So
yeah. Which, again, Houston Bad hadn't tested anyone yet this year, and that I've seen. I think they got a win over a D2 school or something like that. But you know, anything at the same level, they haven't really competed too much.
Now, you want to know the 2 points I'll make. First of all, is that we'd be talking very differently about this game if just a few things had gone differently. You know, they could have played the same game and still easily lost if Abilene makes
their field
one
goals,
or
yep.
two field
yep.
goals. If this game's played in neutral territory or on the road, I don't think SFA wins it.
No.
And that's what we're facing this weekend. So it makes you wonder, maybe the most interesting game, not that it affects anything from our standpoint, but maybe the most interesting game to follow this coming weekend will be ACU and Incarnate Word. They play each other. Let's see what Incarnate Word really is.
Where is that game in Abilene?
That's a good question. I don't know. So. I think it is an
But I do that will be one to watch just to see what that, you know.
It is in Abilene.
Yeah. Is that, yeah, I kind of, but who knows? I mean, I think we may find out what our Incarnate Word is.
Maybe
we
that just, really is like the defensive front of the league this year.
Did SFA just lay an egg out there, or was this actually really a good team? And I mean, I'm kind of hoping that they're actually a fairly decent team, because they could definitely help play spoiler for the rest of the conference.
Sure.
The rest, you know, anytime you lose to a team, you want them to keep winning.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, we'll there's other reasons why the purple lights were lit over the weekend as well. Another successful SFA volleyball,
killing it. They, absolutely killing it in that building right now.
No one wants to come to Shelton Gym. If you're a opposing team coming to Nacogdoches, you're halfway beat before they before they start the game.
At this point, nobody wants to invite the residents of Shelton Gym out to your place either. Yeah. But
and that's a boy. I love how rowdy that crowd is. I love what they're doing this year. It is a lot of fun, and it has a chance to be a real special season for them.
Right, and of course, you know, now SFA 1-0 and in Southland Conference play, and on their way to defending their title a year ago.
I fully expect that to happen. And any other news on basketball? Any other sports while you were down there in Nacogdoches?
Reconnecting a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah. The fact is that basketball is kind of in the quiet period now, because they're really just a few, I guess, days away from starting their practices, a few weeks. And they'll be kind of in basketball season from their standpoint long before we see games. But
schedule release coming soon?
Well, you would hope so.
Yeah, I thought I saw something a couple of days ago talking about, coming very soon is schedule release.
Yeah,
I would expect
there's
that
always
maybe
a
in the
reason
next week,
why
week and a half.
There's always the reason why it hasn't already come out though, and that is the finalizing of
yep.
some games. So
yep.
I think, you know, you hold out and you try to get good home games, and then you get to this time of year and it's like, all right, where's Our Lady of the Lake? Let's get them in town. But
man, there will be there will be plenty of really solid opponents for SFA basketball this year. I think Coach Keller's really putting together a challenging schedule, and probably one of the funnest things is going to be the University of Alabama coming to to Johnson Coliseum.
Yeah. There's two reasons why a mid-major plays a really tough schedule. You could be Central Arkansas or Houston Baptist, and it's called funding your program.
Yeah.
And then you could be SFA and you're actually trying to win these games. And that's what's exciting about it, is you know the reason they're scheduling is not because they need the money. It's because they're trying to go win some basketball games.
Well, and that's what it is. You win a couple of these and you get that helps you later on when through seeding or, you know, just experience with your team too. To know that you are good enough to beat some of these, you know, bigger conference teams.
Right.
And they did it. Pull off the one at LSU last year. LSU, you know, wasn't going to win the Southeast Conference, but Missouri was a good team, and they gave them all they wanted. And so we expect Mississippi
LSU
State as well.
LSU wasn't bad either. LSU ended up being all right. They ended up beating Louisiana too in the postseason, which was a big win for them and for pride, if no other reason.
Right.
But,
yeah. Right. No, that was a program that's on the rise. They had been. Bad, but no, they were much improved last year, and you know, that's the end result is, you know, you get maybe a home and home with some of these bigger schools, and I think that's great. I love the way Coach Keller's putting that together.
Yeah. So keep in mind, though, we were just talking about volleyball. There's home games this week, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday in Shelton Gym.
Wow.
And it's, so if you're in the Nacogdoches area, that's the place to be right now.
You got to go see them. Guess that just about wrap it up for this episode of Purple Lights. Make sure that you're going to the SFA Sawmill and make sure you are downloading, sharing, get the word out about the show. And don't forget, a couple weeks away, we will be in Houston in the tailgate area of NRG Stadium between noon and 2 before the 3 p.m. kickoff for the Battle of the Piney Woods. So come see us live. Come hear us. And we're putting together some guests. It's going to be a fun time.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. And maybe it's a chance to, as we talked about tonight, a chance to win a game in Houston. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm optimistic.
It's not possible.
This is the year, I'm telling you. All right. Well, join us next week, and we will recap the McNeese State game and also try to keep up with the other SFA sports and let us know how this little home stand for SFA volleyball worked out, too. And we will catch you next week. This is Richard.
I'm Isaac.
And Axum Jacks.
Axum Jacks.